Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Well, every once in a while when you listen to a sermon, there's just those lines that sometimes just sort of reach out and grip your attention. And captivate you. You're drifting off into some distraction. You're not really paying attention. You're thinking about something else. And all of a sudden, there's this. You hear something like, "Whoa, whoa! I gotta pay attention to this. This is important. This I want to hear." Jesus has one of those kind of lines right in the middle of this middle point of the Sermon on the Mount. It comes in verse 9 of chapter 6 when Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." Now, that's quite a line. If the Lord Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm about to teach you about how to pray," if that doesn't grip your attention, I don't know what would. That's an awesome thing. Prayer is one of the most astonishing of all of God's gifts to us. The Almighty, eternal Creator God comes down into the sea of humanity, and to a few select people, He gives out His personal phone number, a direct line to heaven, and promises, "Anytime that line rings, I'll pick up." It's just incredible. I mean, the awesome privilege of just being able to communicate with the Almighty, that itself just makes prayer valuable beyond imagination or comprehension. Just that, right? But that's just one benefit of prayer. Prayer brings us every kind of richness. We have so many different reasons to pray. We pray to prepare ourselves to receive God's blessing, right? He's always ready to give, but we're not always ready to receive. And so prayer can unclog and widen the channels through which God desires to pour out His grace. We pray to alert ourselves to the nearness of God. We pray to awaken our souls to seek after Him. We pray to exercise our faith in His promises. We pray to unburden our hearts as we cast our cares on Him. We pray to show Him to be our great provider and King and Father. We pray to both increase our appetites, our good appetites, and satisfy them. We pray to be the tools that God uses to bring about His perfect plan in His glorious purposes. We pray for one another to express love to each other. We pray to be calmed when we're upset, strengthened when we're weak, guided when we're lost, enlightened when we're confused, emboldened when we're cowardly, motivated when we're apathetic, rescued when we're in trouble, loved when we're rejected, befriended when we're lonely, refreshed when we're dry, filled up when we're empty, and forgiven when we sin. We pray to uncap the overflowing joy of worship in our hearts. It's just impossible to put into words the value of prayer. And yet so many things hinder us from it, keep us from it. Unlimited blessing is available there every day for the taking, and yet we pass up so much of it because of the things that hinder our prayer. And so when the Son of God stands on a hillside and announces right in the middle of a sermon, "This then is how you should pray. I'm about to teach you how to pray," that gets our attention, right? We've been studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, and we come this morning to the Lord's Prayer. But before we dive into the content of that prayer, I think it's good for us at the outset to just understand how the Lord intended for us to take this prayer. What's it for? How are we to understand it? When Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray," does that mean that this is a prayer to be recited or a pattern to be followed in prayer? And if it's the latter, if it's a pattern, what is it about this pattern that we're supposed to follow? Is it the topics? Is it the order? Is it the length? In what sense is the Lord's Prayer supposed to be exemplary for our praying? I think we can rule out the idea that this is prayer is supposed to be just a fixed prayer that we recite word for word, because on another occasion in Luke 11, when the disciples came and asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," The Lord answered, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. The fact that Jesus answered that way tells us two things. First, this prayer must not be a fixed formulaic prayer designed to just be recited word for word, because on the two occasions that Jesus gives it, he doesn't say the same words. He doesn't use the same wording. The one that he gave in the Sermon on the Mount is almost twice as long as the one that he gives in Luke 11. So we assume this prayer is to be used not as a rote prayer, but as an outline. It's an outline. The disciples didn't say, teach us a prayer. They said, teach us to pray. It's also interesting to note that nowhere in the rest of the Bible do you ever hear anybody praying these words, these exact words. We have a record of many prayers offered by the church and individuals all and the apostles all the way through the book of Acts. Never once do you hear a recitation of the Lord's Prayer. We have many of Paul's prayers in the epistles. He never uses this wording. In the book of Revelation, we hear the prayers of the saints, and we even hear the prayers going on in heaven, the perfect prayers up around God's throne, and even those, they're not using this exact prayer. In fact, Jesus himself, throughout the gospel, prays. John 17 and other places, he's praying, and you never hear these exact words. So it's clear that Jesus had more in mind for us with this prayer than to just simply recite it. It's an outline. At the top of my sermon notes, I have a sermon outline of my sermon. I could get up here and just rattle off that outline in under a minute, and we'd all be out of here real fast. Don't even think about it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because I don't do that, because just reading the sermon outline wouldn't communicate all that's in my heart to communicate to you. The Lord's Prayer is like that. It's an outline. The Lord's Prayer is about 50 words in Matthew, and in Luke it's about 35. Matthew, you take a longer version, you can read it slowly, and it takes about 15 seconds to pray. It's an outline. Now, this isn't to say that it's wrong to recite the Lord's Prayer. I'm not saying that. If you give thought to what you're saying, and you really mean what you're saying, then reciting the Lord's Prayer can be a wonderful way to pray. It's a good thing to do. But if you really do mean it, I mean, if these things are really in your heart, you really do desire his kingdom to come and his name to be hallowed and his will to be done on earth and all that stuff, if that's really a desire of your heart, then I can't imagine that your prayer is going to be over in 15 seconds, right? So it's an outline. It's an outline. But on the other hand, it's fascinating to me that there are differences. Even though there are differences between the one in Matthew and the one in Luke, that when Jesus teaches on prayer on two separate occasions, his model for prayer is so similar. And this was striking to me this week. I think all of you probably would agree with the first point that I made, that it's not supposed to be just a rote prayer, it's a model. But I don't know if many of us have thought of this second principle, that when Jesus taught twice, two different occasions on prayer, and he used different wording, it's so similar. Evidently, there really is a fixed framework for prayer that Jesus had in his mind. This is the right way to pray. The Lord's Prayer is not just an example of a good prayer. It's a pattern for prayer. And there's something important about the pattern. But you might ask, well, why do we even need a pattern? Why would the disciples come up to Jesus and say, teach us to pray? I mean, how hard is it? How hard is it? Isn't prayer just talking to God? Teach us to pray. Why didn't Jesus say, well, just begin talking? You know, just start pouring out your heart to God. Whatever's on your heart, pour it out to God. God wants us to talk to him. But what we learn from this is he wants us to talk to him in a certain way. There are some ways of praying that are better than other ways of praying. Not all prayers are the same. Think about what inspired the disciples' question in Luke 11. What inspired it was they heard Jesus praying. Luke 11:1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. The Jews at that time, they were very, very devoted to prayer. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. We saw that They had prayers for absolutely every occasion, all kinds of different prayers. They prayed numerous times every day. They had prescribed prayers. But when the disciples heard Jesus pray, evidently it just struck them how this is different than all those other prayers. This is just very different. And not only different, but it wasn't something that was easily imitated. They had to ask him to teach them. They couldn't just say, oh, that's a good prayer. I'm going to pray like that. I like that approach. I'm going to take that approach. They couldn't do that. They had to say, teach us, teach us. We don't know how to do this. So clearly, not all prayers are the same. Some prayers are better than other prayers. And so we want to always be striving to keep improving the way that we talk to God. And you might hear that and say, well, I don't understand that, because didn't you just say last week that all prayer must be genuine in order for it to be prayer? That is, if we pray something that's different than what's actually in our hearts, then it's not true prayer. And if that's the case, then how can Jesus tell us what to say? Because doesn't Jesus want us to be genuine and honest and just say whatever we feel, whatever's in our hearts? He doesn't want us to say things that contradict what's in our hearts, right? And the answer is, that's true. That's true. It's true that prayer must be the genuine expression of your real desires. And it's also true that some prayers are better than others, and we should pray certain things. And therefore, the conclusion is this. The way to improve your prayers is to improve what's in your heart, to improve your desires. Your prayer should be whatever you desire, but if your prayers aren't matching what the Scripture said about how to pray, then the way to change that is to change your desires. If we look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, if I look at the Lord's Prayer and I say, wow, I've been praying wrong all this time. My prayers aren't anything like this, or I've had the wrong emphasis or whatever. The solution to that is not for me to just start asking for a whole bunch of things that I don't really care about. Don't really care about his kingdom. Don't really care about his name that much, but I'll just ask for it because he said to ask for it. That's not the solution. The solution is to really start actually caring about those things so much so that they drive me to pray for them. See that? If I just really, really, really want a higher income or a promotion or better house or better job or something, and that's the consuming desire of my heart, but I don't really care that much about the hallowing of God's name or his will being done or any of that, then I don't say, okay, well, I'm stuck with praying for money because that's what's in my heart. Nor is the solution to say, well, I'll just pray for things I don't really care about. I got one thing in my heart, I'll pray about something else because the Bible says it. Neither one of those are right. The solution is to work towards changing my heart so that I'm so consumed with God's glory that I'm more consumed with his glory than I am for my own comfort, and then that those true desires will drive my prayers. And it's my deep desire in prayer that this study of the Lord's Prayer will help us as a church make progress in that direction.
What are the strongest desires in your heart at this time in your life? Is God pleased that those are your strongest desires? What could you do to cultivate even better desires so when you pray, you're asking for better things?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.